Welcome back. This is the eighth time we've been together, and in this session we would like to cover the five remaining letters of the Apostle Paul.
Pilih yang sumping deh, nyaiya di kadalapan kalian ngariung sasarengan di lebet sesi anu bakal dibahas lima surat di Rasul Paulus.
We'll cover the letters of 1 and 2 Thessalonians.
Orang bakal ngebahas serat-serat hiji sereng 2 Tesalonika.
1 and 2 Timothy.
Kahiji sareng kadua Timotius.
And Titus.
Sareng Titus.
Now I perhaps should explain why I haven't followed the exact order of the New Testament books.
Ayeuna panginten sakedahna abdi ngajelaskeun naha ngiring kana kitab-kitab Perjanjian Anyar.
Apparently the reason the books were placed in this order.
Alasan kitab-kitab ieu ditempatkan numutkeun urutan ieu.
Is because they go from the longest epistle of Paul to the shortest.
Kumagimaranana ngawitan ti serat Rasul Paulus anu pangpanjangna dugi ka serat anu pangpondokna.
So the order has to do not with chronology, but it has to do with length of the letter.
Urutanana teu numutkeun kronologi, tapi didamel nut panjangna serat.
From the longest to the shortest.
Tinu pangpanjangna dugi ka nu pangpondokna.
The book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians was written to a church Paul founded on his second missionary journey.
Kitab hiji sareng 2 Tesalonika diserat ku hiji gereja anu Paulus ngawangun di lebet perjalanan misina anu kadua.
Thessalonica is about 100 miles west of the city of Philippi.
Tesalonika kira-kira 100 mil di sebelah kulon kota Filipi.
So when Paul had heard the call of the Macedonians saying, "Come over and help us,"
Paktos Paulus parantos ngadangu panggilan jalma Makedonia anu nyarios muntas sareng tulungan abdi.
He goes to Philippi first.
Awitan anjeunna mios ka Filipi.
And then he goes to Thessalonica.
Teras mios ka Tesalonika.
There was a rivalry between these two cities.
Aya persaingan di antara kedua kota eta.
As to which was the leading city of the province of Achaia.
Kumargi kaduana mangrupikeun kota anu kakoncara di Provinsi Akaya.
Achaia is the northern of the two provinces that made up what we know today as Greece.
Akaya ayana di antara dua provinsi nu ayeuna nu dikenal nyaeta Yunani.
Now Paul did not spend very much time when he first came to Thessalonica.
Paulus teu nyiepkeun seueur waktos nuju ngawitan anjeunna dongkap ka Tesalonika.
In fact, there's evidence that he may have spent as little as about a month when he first came to the city.
Bukti yen anjeunna panginten nyiepkeun waktos kira-kira sabulan waktos anjeunna ngawitan dongkap ka kota.
And the reason his stay was so short was because there was persecution.
Alasan lingginan nu sakitu sakedap nyaeta kumargi aya panyiksaan.
And so as Paul preached the gospel,
Waktos Paulus ngotbahkan Injil,
he did it as he always did, first in the synagogue.
Indamalah sepertahan waktos dipidamal ku anjeunna ngawitan lebet ka sinagog.
Some believed.
Sabaraan orang percanten.
And some did not.
Sabaraan teu.
One of the reasons that Paul would go to the synagogue was because he knew the Jews must receive the gospel first, just as they received the law first.
Alasan Paulus mias ka sinagog nyaeta kumargi anjeunna terang jalma-jalma Yahudi kedah nampi Injil langkung tipayun sami waktos manena nampi hukum Taurat langkung tipayun.
But there was another reason which was very practical.
Tapi aya alasan anu sanes nu praktis pisan.
Here he would find a group of people who already understood the old covenant.
Kadieu anjeunna bakal mendakan sakelompok jalma anu parantos ngartos perjanjian lawas.
And included among these people were not just Jews, there were also some Gentiles.
Tarangka lebet di antara jalmi-jalmi ieu sanes mung urang Yahudi tapi oge sababaraha nu sanes urang Yahudi.
Now these Gentiles were found at the back of the synagogue.
Da urang-urang nu sanes urang Yahudi ieu aya di bagian pengker sinagog.
They were kind of second class citizens.
Maranehna aya dinu warga kelas 2.
They were like the centurion Cornelius.
Sapertos perwira pasukan Cornelius.
They were Gentiles who had adopted the Jewish faith.
Nyata jalma-jalma anu sanes Yahudi anu parantos nampi iman Yahudi.
But they had not been circumcised.
Maranehna teu disunat.
So they did not practice the various ceremonies of the Jewish law.
Maranehna teu mapraktekeun segala rupi ngeunaan upacara hukum Yahudi.
But they did like to come to the synagogue because they liked the teaching.
Tapi maranena resep dongkap ka sinagog kumargi resep kana pangajaran.
Because the Jewish faith was about the only religion that tied together what you believed with how you behaved.
Margi imam Yahudi mung hiji-hijina agama anu ngahubungkeun naon nu saderek percanten sareng kalakuan saderek.
And Gentiles many times were attracted to the rather superior morality of the Jews.
Jeur jalmi-jalmi anu sanes Yahudi resep kana moral Yahudi anu langkung luhur.
Now it was from these Gentile believers in the God of Israel.
Jalmi-jalmi anu sanes Yahudi anu percanten ka Allah Israel.
That Paul found his most receptive people.
Paulus ngengingkeun jalma-jalma anu paling hoyong nampi.
And many times they would believe why many of the Jews would disbelieve.
Maranehna seueur anu percanten sawatara seueur jalma-jalma Yahudi anu teu percanten.
These Gentile Jewish believers were called God-fearers.
Jalma-jalma percanten sanes Yahudi, Yahudi disebut jalma-jalma nu sieun ku pangeran.
Because they believed in the God of Israel.
Margi maranehna percanten ka Allah Israel.
Now this is exactly what happened in Thessalonica.
Ta ieu pasna naon anu kajantenan di Tesalonika.
Read about it in the first half of Acts 17.
Ta derek ngarosgeunaan ieu dina bagian ka hiji Kisah Rasul 17.
The Gentiles in the back of the synagogue started believing.
Jalma-jalma sanes Yahudi di bagian pengker sinagog ngawitan percanten.
And included quite a number of Gentile women of high standing in the community.
Sareng dilebetna sajumlah istri nu sanes Yahudi anu kakoncara di masyarakat.
But then there became a rise against Paul from the Jewish disbelievers.
Tapi urang-urang Yahudi anu teu percanten ngawitan tentang Paulus.
And they drove Paul out of town.
Sareng maranehna ngusir Paulus kaluar ti kota.
So he had to leave rather quickly.
Itu anjeunna kedah mios langkung enggal.
And the opposition that came against Paul now was directed against the new church.
Pihak oposisi anu nentang Paulus ayeuna diarahkeun kanggo nentang gereja nu enggal.
And Paul was very concerned if these new believers would stand against this opposition and persecution.
Paulus prihatin pisan nah jalma-jalma percanten engal ieu bakal teguh nyangareupan perlawanan sareng penganiayaan.
And so as he has traveled now down to Berea and then down to Athens,
sarengnya kitu anjeunna ngayakeun perjalanan ka Berea sareng turun ka Athena.
Berea is located just to the west or down here from Thessalonica.
Lokasi Berea nya eta pas di sabeulah barat ti Salonika.
And then Athens is down here.
Sareng Athena di bagian handap.
He sends back Timothy to find out how these believers are doing in Thessalonica.
Anjeunna ngutus deui Timotius kanggo milarian terang naon anu pidaon jalma-jalma percanten di Tesalonika.
And Timothy reports back to Paul in Athens.
Sareng Timotius ngalaporkeun deui ka Paulus di Athena.
That they are standing firm and faithful to the gospel.
Yen maranehna tetep teguh sareng setia ka Injil.
And Paul is so grateful he writes a letter back to them.
Sareng Paulus ngaturkeun nuhun anjeunna nulis surat deui ka maranehna.
And here's the letter, 1 Thessalonians.
Sarangnya ieu seratna hiji Tesalonika.
And he talks about the trial of their faith.
Sareng anjeunna nyarios ngeunaan ujian kanggo iman maranehna.
He told them that we want you to understand that what's happened to you, we told you it was going to take place.
Anjeunna nyarioskeun kami hayang maraneh ngarti yen naon anu kajantenan kami bere nyaho.
Listen to him in chapter 3.
Dangukeun pasal 3.
Verse 2 and 3.
Ayat 2 sareng 3.
1 Thessalonians 3, 2 and 3.
Hiji Tesalonika 3 ayat 2 sareng 3.
We sent Timothy, who is our brother and God's fellow worker in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith so that no one would be unsettled by these trials.
Nyatuluy ngajurung Timotius heula sina negerkeun ka aranjeunna. Sanajan anjeunna teh penting keur maturan simkuring ngawawarkeun Injil Kristus nu dimaksud jangkaan dulur-dulur saurang ge ulah kungsi aya anu mundur ku kasukeran.
You know quite well that we were destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted and it turned out that way as you well know.
Dulur-dulur tang tugas ngamalum, urang teh baris loba anu nyusakeun pada boga kapercayaan kieu. Basa babarengan kene jeung sim kuring geus dibejaan yen urang baris katarajang kasukeran bukti geuning karandapan.
Suffering did accompany the gospel in those days.
Penyiksaan nyarengan Injil dilebet dinten-dintena.
And there may be those of you who also have experienced opposition for the name of Jesus.
Jeur di antara mane anu oge ngalaman perlawanan kumargi nami Yesus.
Don't be surprised.
Tong heran.
This is to be expected.
Memang bakal kajantenan.
They did it to Jesus.
Midamel ieu ka Yesus.
Would they not do it to us?
Maranehna midamel eta ge ka urang.
So it is that the Thessalonian church is suffering for the sake of Christ.
Karena kitu gereja Tesalonika kasiksa kanggo Kristus.
In fact, it appears that some may have even lost their lives for the sake of the gospel.
Faktana katingali sababaraha urang kaleungitan nyawana kanggo Kristus.
Now, we can't be absolutely certain that this is the reason Paul writes these words that we're going to read in a moment.
Ayeuna urang teu pasti yen nya ieu alesanana Paulus nuliskeun kata-kata naon anu diaos sakedap deui.
But they may have lost their lives for the cause of Christ.
Disababkeun ku Kristus.
There may have also been those who died a natural death.
Oge aya jalma-jalma anu maot sacara wajar.
Now apparently there was a concern, will these believers who died either in persecution or with a natural death miss out on the Lord's return?
Ayeuna katingalina aya hiji kaprihatinan naha aya jalma-jalma percanten anu maot kumargi panyiksaan atanapi maot secara wajar bakal ditinggalkeun dina waktos Gusti sumping.
Listen to Paul's words in chapter 4, verse 14.
Jangukeun kata-kata Paulus dina pasal 4 ayat 14.
Paul says, don't grieve like those who have no hope.
Paulus nyarios supados aranjeun tong ngarasa sedih sapertos jalma-jalma sanes nu ngagaduhan pangharapan.
Verse 14 says why?
Ayat 14 nyarioskeun.
1 Thessalonians 4:14.
Hiji Tesalonika 4 ayat 14.
We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him.
Urang anu percaya ka Yesus anu geus gugah tina pupusna yakin yen urang anu maot dina iman ka Yesus baris kumpul jeung anjeunna di payuneun Allah.
That Paul says they will actually rise first before we who are alive and remain.
Faktana Paulus nyarioskeun kumaranana bakal digugahkeun langkung ti payung sateuacanna urang masih hirup sareng masih aya.
Listen to verses 16 and 17.
Gangukeun ayat 16 sareng 17.
1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17.
Hiji Tesalonika 4 ayat 16-17.
For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first.
Di mana geus aya tangara malaikat kepala baris sumeluk haneuruan sangkakala Allah ditiup, tidinya Gusti ku anjeun lumung surut ti surga anu maraot ti jero iman ka Kristus bari urang.
And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so will we be with the Lord forever.
Kabeh dikumpulkeun jeung anu kakara harudang tea, terus diangkat kana mega di awang-awang, dideuseun ka Gusti tidinya urang kabeh baris ngancik di Gusti salangna.
Therefore comfort one another with these words.
Tumari jeung eta urang teu kedah silih tegerkeuna teh.
What a blessed hope we have.
Sakitu saena pangharepan anu kurang gaduh.
Let me say one more thing.
Ijinkeun abdi nyarios hiji hal deui.
Look down in verse 9 of chapter 5.
Mangga tingali ayat 8 tina pasal 5.
1 Thessalonians 5:9.
Hiji Tesalonika 5 ayat 8.
For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Urang ku Allah henteu ditakdirkeun geusan nada hukuman tapi geusan dirahayukeun ku Gusti Yesus Kristus.
And verse 10.
Ayat 10.
He died for us so that whether we are awake, that is we die, pardon me, whether we are awake or we sleep, that is die, we may live together with him. We are not destined for wrath. There is a big difference between wrath and tribulation. Tribulation comes from the enemy against God's people. It's proof that we belong to the Lord. Because Satan doesn't persecute his own. But wrath comes from God against ungodliness. And since we are God's children, we do not face wrath. Maybe persecution, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Not wrath. So comfort one another. Now, because Paul talks about we who are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord, some began to teach that the coming of the Lord was so near that perhaps it may have happened already. It's hard to believe, but that really was happening. And so less than a year later, Paul has to write back a second epistle to correct that misunderstanding. Let's look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Second Thessalonians 2, 1 and 2. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to Him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed. Don't be unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy or report or letter supposedly to have come from us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Paul goes on to explain two things have to happen before the Lord returns.
Paulus ngajelaskeun dua hal anu kedah kajantenan sateuacanna kasumpingan Gusti Yesus.
The man of sin has to be revealed.
Manusia doraka kedah diwujudkeun.
The man of lawlessness.
Jalma nu teu percanten dina babeneran.
Usually identified as the Antichrist.
Diidentifikasikeun nyaeta Antikristus.
But this cannot happen until that which restrains the appearance of this man of sin is taken away.
Tapi ieu teu tiasa kajantenan dugi ka nahanna si tukang bohong ieu disingkirkeun.
So the restraint has to be removed.
Jantenunan kedah disingkirkeun.
The man of sin has to be revealed.
Tukang bohong kada diwujudkeun.
And then Christ will come and destroy him.
Ras Kristus bakal dongkap sareng ngamusnahkeun.
Now Paul does not say what the restraint is.
Paulus teu nyarioskeun naon anu nahanna.
So I will not say it either.
Abdi oge moal nyarioskeun.
There are various opinions
about it. Aya sagala rupi pamikiran ngeunaan hal eta.
As long as the man of sin has not been revealed.
Salami si tukang bohong ieu diwujudkeun.
We know the restraint is still around, whatever it is.
Urang terang yeung nunahanna masih aya di dieu.
So Paul has to correct this misunderstanding that the day of the Lord has come.
Paulus kada ngoreksi salah sahartos yang dinten kasumpingan Gusti Yesus parantos kajantenan.
Now, this is a balance that we have to keep.
Ieu hiji kaseimbangan nu kedah urang jaga.
The Lord could come quickly, shortly.
Gusti Yesus bakal sumping dina waktu singkat.
But it might be delayed.
Panginten wae ditunda.
So sometimes we go to one extreme or the
Dakapeng
other.
Kapeung urang katandak hiji ekstrem atawa sampai ekstrem sana.
No, we must walk in a confidence every day the Lord is coming back.
Henteu urang kedah mapah di lebet keyakinan setiap dinten yen Gusti Yesus nuju sumping deui.
Let me use an analogy to
help.
In fact, Paul uses the same analogy in 1 Thessalonians.
Paulus nganggo analogi nu sami di lebet hiji Tesalonika.
He likens the coming of the Lord to a woman in labor.
Anjeunna nyamikeun kasumpingan Gusti Yesus sapertos istri nu bade ngalahirkeun.
The labor pains say a birth is about to take place.
Rasa nyeri masih anterang yen babaran bakal kajantenan.
But you don't know exactly when.
Tapi saderek terang irapasna.
It could be very quickly, very soon.
Itu tiasa janten engal pisan.
It might be delayed.
Ia penginten langkung lambat.
Two things will tell you how close you're getting to the birth.
Dua hal bakal masih terang saderek sabaraha caketna nuju babaran.
The frequency of the labor pains.
Sering rasa nyeri babaran anu kajantenan.
They get closer and closer together.
Langkung sering sareng langkung sering nyerina.
And the intensity of the labor pain.
Sareng oge tingkat hebatna rasa nyeri babaran eta.
They become more and more involving the whole body of the woman as she travails to give birth to the child.
Langkung nyeri ngalibatkeun seluruh awak istri eta waktu saranjeuna berjuang kang ngalahkeun orok eta.
Now we'll talk more about that when we get to the book of Revelation.
Dan urang bade ngabahas langkung seueur ngeunaan hal eta dugi ka kitab
Bayu. But for now I want you to understand.
Gangguan ayeuna abdi hoyong sareng.
The coming of the Lord is a blessed hope.
Balik. Pangharepan anu endah.
We shall be delivered from the wrath to come.
Urang bakal dibebaskeun ti murka anu bakal datang.
So we should not fear if we have to suffer for Jesus' sake.
Urang teu kedah sieun saupami urang kedah disiksa ku margi Yesus.
One day we shall be home forever with Him.
Dinten urang bakal balik ka bumi Bapa sasarengan jeuna salamina.
Let's comfort one another with these words.
Mangga urang saling ngahibur ku dawuhan ieu.
Aren't these two wonderful epistles?
Ieu dua serat rasul anu luar biasa.
Let's look now at the three letters that Paul wrote to church leaders.
Mangga urang tingali ayeuna katilu serat Paulus ditulis ku pamimpin gereja.
Paul was a team player. He always was working with other people.
Paulus nyaeta pamain tim. Aranjeunna sok didamel sareng jalma-jalma sanes.
He always had a partner or partners.
Aranjeunna ngagaduhan saurang mitra, tanapi mitra-mitra nu didamel sasarengan.
Sometimes he would have Timothy with him.
Kakapeung Timotius barang damel sareng aranjeunna.
And Titus.
Sareng Titus.
These are two of the men that he's written letters to.
Nyaeta dua jalma anu kasanyian jalanyian
sareng. Sometimes Dr. Luke was with him.
Kakapeung Dr. Lukas barang damel sasarengan.
Or Epaphroditus.
Tapi Epaphroditus.
Or Epaphras.
Epaphras.
In fact, there are 38 different combinations of names in the book of Acts.
Aya 38 kombinasi nami anu benten di lebet kitab Kisah Rasul.
Where did they learn this?
Di mana maranehna diajar eta?
How did Jesus send his disciples?
Yesus ngutus murid-muridna.
Two by two.
Paduduan.
John and Peter.
Johannes jeung Petrus.
Paul and Silas.
Paulus jeung Silas.
Paul and Barnabas.
Paulus jeung Barnabas.
Paul, Barnabas and Mark.
Paulus, Barnabas, Markus.
Paul, Silas and Timothy.
Paulus, Silas, Timotius.
Why?
Naha.
Let every word be confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses.
Kecap anu diteguhkeun ku lambaina teh da anapi tilu saksi.
It gives an authenticity and an authority to the gospel.
Ieu masihan kaotentikan sareng otoritas ka Injil.
Furthermore, not one person has all the gifts.
Kukituna teu aya saurang manusa anu ngagaduhan sadaya karunia.
We must work together.
Urang kedah kerja sama.
And so Paul is going to write to two of his very faithful and some of his most intimate co-workers.
Paulus nulis kadua dirancanganna damelna anu satia pisan sareng sababaraha rancangan anu paling caket.
Timothy was a fairly young man.
Timotius nyaeta saurang budak ngora nu bageur.
Paul met him on his first missionary journey.
Paulus papendak sareng aranjeunna dina perjalanan misina.
He came from the central part of Turkey.
Asal aranjeunna ti bagian tengah Turki.
And on his second journey through this area, Paul took Timothy.
Dina perjalanan misina nu kadua, Paulus ngaliwatan wilayah ieu, Paulus nyandak Timotius.
And so this young man traveled with Paul for many years.
Barudak ngora ieu mios sareng Paulus salamemang taun-taun.
In fact, when Paul writes to him these two letters, he is responsible for the churches in Ephesus and the greater area.
Waktos Paulus nulis dua serat ieu ka anjeunna, anjeunna bertanggung jawab atas gereja-gereja di Efesus sareng wilayah nu kalangkung muda.
Titus was an older man.
Titus nyaeta saurang pamegat anu langkung sepuh.
And when Paul was dealing with the difficult problems over here in Corinth,
Paulus nunjunanganan masalah-masalah di Korintus,
he sent Titus rather than Timothy.
Anjeunna ngutus Titus tibatan Timotius.
And when Paul writes the letter to Titus, Titus is down here in this little island of Crete which you can't see.
Dan waktu Paulus nulis serat ke Titus, Titus aya di dieu, di pulau Kreta anu alit anu kusadarek pernah katingali.
Now some people have called these three letters the pastoral epistles.
Sabara urang nyebatkeun katilu serat ieu eta serat-serat pastoral.
That Titus and Timothy were pastors.
Kumargi Titus sareng Timotius nyaeta gembala-gembala.
Probably a better understanding is that they were more like bishops or overseers of many churches.
Panginten langkung dimengerti yen manehna sapertos uskup-uskup atanapi pengawas di seueur gereja.
They had the oversight of many congregations.
Manehna parantos nalingakeun seueur gereja.
So Paul writes to these two fine co-workers about how to administer the affairs of the churches.
Paulus nulis ka dua rekan sapadamelan anu handal ngeunaan kumaha nanganan masalah gereja.
There are three primary issues that Paul must deal with.
Aya tilu masalah dasar nu Paulus kedah nangani.
And we'll see that in these three books.
Urang bakal ningali di lebet katilu buku
ieu. The issue of false teaching.
Masalah ajaran sesat.
Unsound doctrine.
Doktrin nu teu sehat.
Secondly, the issue of appointing reliable elders and leaders in the local churches.
Kadua masalah nunjukkan para panatua sareng para pemimpin gereja-gereja lokal.
And the third area has to do with the proper conducting of public meetings.
Sareng bidang katilu kedari tangani ku cara leres kanggo mimpin ibadah.
These are very practical and helpful books.
Ieunya eta kitab-kitab nu praktis pisan sareng ngagaduhan mangpaat.
Let's look first of all at 1 Timothy.
Mangatingali heula hiji Timotius.
Now a major theme is this matter of false teaching.
Tema utamana nyaeta ajaran sesat.
Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1 verses 1 through 5.
Balikeun hiji Timotius pasal 1 ayat 3 dugi ka 5.
1 Timothy 1 3 through 5.
Hiji Timotius 1 ayat 3 dugi ka 5.
As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, which is the northern part of Greece, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer.
Kahayang bapa mah hidup kudu aya di Efesus sakumaha pamenta bapa basakeur arek ka Makedonia teh. Ari sababna di ditu aya anu nyebarkeun pangajaran mahiwal perlu ku hidup dieureunkeun.
Nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith.
Ingkeus kamaranehna geura leungitkeun dongeng-dongeng nataan ngaran karuhun sakitu panjangna lantaran ngondang pacesukan wungkul lain ngununtun kana katartiban anu ti Allah dibeunangkeun ku iman.
Now listen to Paul's words in verse 5.
Ayeuna dangukeun caerosan Paulus dina ayat kalima.
The goal of this command to tell these people not to teach this way is this.
Tujuanna saat ieu nyaeta masihan terang jalma-jalma sapagodos tong ngajarkeun hal eta.
It is love which comes from a pure heart, a good conscience and sincere faith.
Sejang hudang deui kanya anu bijil ti ati anu wening kaluar tina pikiran anu mencrang tina iman nu ikhlas.
Apparently the issue here in the greater Ephesus area was the issue in Galatia, was the issue in Colossae, this matter of the Jewish law.
Katingalina masalah di dia di wilayah Efesus anu ngelangkung ageung nyaeta masalah di Galatia, masalah di Kolosa, nyaeta masalah hukum Yahudi.
Look at verse 8 and 9.
Tingali di ayat 8 sareng 9.
1 Timothy 1, 8 and 9.
Hiji Timotius 1 ayat 8 sareng 9.
We know that the law is good if a man uses it properly.
Memang urang nyaotoret THD asal dipake jeung samistina.
Now the next verse tells us how to properly use the law.
Ayeuna ayat nu salajengna masihan terang urang kumaha nganggo hukum cara eta.
We also know that the law is made not for good men, but for what? Lawbreakers, rebels, the ungodly, the sinful, the unholy, the religious, for those who killed their fathers and mothers and for murder.
Padahal kitu kudu diingetkeun hukum Taurat dijieun lain keur jelema anu harade, tapi keur nu ngararempak. Keur penjahat, keur nu kufur, keur nu doraka, tapi keur nu teu resep kana suci aywalti. Soal kabatinan, keur anu ngabinasa indung bapa.
The law is for lawbreakers.
Hukum ieu kanggo nu ngalanggar hukum.
Those who have the new covenant written in their hearts.
Manehna nu parantos ngagaduhan perjanjian anu engal nu ditulis di lebet hate-hatena.
Use the law not to restrict them but to liberate them to love.
Angge hukum sanes kanggo ngalarang maranehanna tapi kanggo ngabebaskeun maranehanna tina mikasih.
So teach these people to use the law properly.
Janten ajar jalma-jalma ieu kanggo ngagunakeun hukum nu leres.
Listen to Paul's very practical charge to Timothy in chapter 4.
Jangukeun tuntunan Paulus anu praktis dina pisan dina hiji Timotius pasal 4.
1 Timothy chapter 4 verses 15 and 16.
Hiji Timotius 4 15 sareng 16.
Be diligent in these matters, give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress.
Pakai talampakeun imankeun malar hidup maju sarta kamajuanana katembong ku balarea.
Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers.
Jaga diri hade-hade sing hati-hati yang ngajar, sing syuhud ngalakonanana, sabab eta matak jamuga keur hidup keur batur nu balener.
One of the most powerful ways to teach true doctrine is to live it out in your life.
Cara anu paling sae kanggo ngawulang doktrin anu leres nyaeta ku cara ngajalankeun di lebet kahirupan saderek.
Sound doctrine is the doctrine that causes people to live godly lives.
Doktrin anu leres nyaeta doktrin anu nyababkeun jalmi-jalmi ngajalankeun hirup nu saleh.
And the way to give authority to sound doctrine is to live it out.
Cara-cara nganggo masihan otoritas ka doktrin anu leres nyaeta ngajalankeunana.
Timothy, don't let anybody despise your youth.
Timotius, tong saurang ge nganggap anjeun rendah peda anjeun ngora.
Be an example of the believer.
Sing jadi contoh kanggo jalma-jalma nu percanten.
In word, in conduct, in faith, in purity.
Dina tingkah laku, dina iman, dina kasucian.
Let them see your progress.
Ewias marane ningali kemajuan eta.
And so doing, you'll save yourself and them.
Sareng ngalaksanakeun eta anjeun bakal nyelametkeun diri anjeun sareng maranehna.
From the snares of false teaching.
Perangkap ajaran sesat.
Isn't that a challenge to us who lead?
Nah, ieu mangrupi hiji tantangan kanggo urang anu
pingin. To live out what we teach.
Kanggo ngajalankeun naon anu kurang diajarkeun.
Goes back to the sayings of Jesus.
Balik deui ka carisan-carisan Yesus.
Don't just be hearers of the word.
Mung janten ngadangukeun dawuhanana.
But doers are the same.
Tapi ngalaksanakeun dawuhanana.
Be a wise man.
Janten jalma wijaksana.
Build your house in the rock, not the sand.
Bangun rorompok anjeun di luhureun batu karang. Ulah di luhureun
batu. You'll be able to withstand the storms of life.
Sareng aranjeun bakal nahan di lebet badai kahirupan.
Then there's a word about conducting the public services.
Aya hiji dawuhan ngeunaan hirup salaku jemaat.
Listen to Paul in chapter 3, verse 14 and 15.
Dengukeun Paulus dina pasal 3 ayat 14 sareng 15.
1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15.
Hiji Timotius 3 ayat 14 dugi ka 15.
Although I hope to come to you soon, I am writing you these instructions so that if I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth.
Ieu perkara perlu ku bapa ditulis ayeuna, najan bapa teu niat buru-buru manggihan hidup. Maksudna bisi bae bapa lat datang hidup geus terang kumaha kadua hirupna para warga Allah anu jumeneng, anu jadi pananggeuhan jeung dasaring kayaktian teh.
So conduct the meetings properly.
Janten hirup salaku jamaah nu layak.
Lay hands on no man suddenly.
Tong numpangkeun panangan ka jalma nu engal tobat.
And in chapter 3 he gives the characteristics of a godly elder.
Dina pasal 3 anjeunna masihan sifat-sifat anu nalingakeun jamaah nu saleh.
Those that are going to oversee the congregation must live above reproach.
Maranehna nu bakal nalingakeun jamaah kedah hirup tanpa cacat.
Now, if you take the passages in Titus which deal with the appointment of elders with the passages in 1 Timothy that deal with the appointment of elders.
Ayeuna upami saderek ningali pasal-pasal dina Titus nu aya kaitanana sareng pangangkatan nalingakeun jamaah nu pasal pasal 1 Timotius nu ngeunaan pamilihan panatua.
Together there are 20 characteristics of an elder who is able to lead a congregation properly.
Upami digabungkeun aya 20 persyaratan ti saurang panatua nu layak mimpin jamaah.
And 19 of the 20 relate to character, one relates to giftedness.
Sareng 18 ti 20 syarat ieu aya hubungan sareng sifat anu hiji hubunganana sareng karunia.
The message is clear.
Pesan ieu jelas.
If we would lead properly in the household of God,
pami urang ngoyong mimpin jamaah Allah secara sae.
Who we are is more important than what we do.
Nah, salah urang langkung penting tibatan naon nu kurang pidamel.
Because what we do will come out of who we are.
Kumargi naon nu kurang dipidamel asalna ti saatuh.
If we would just follow these instructions in 1 Timothy and in Titus, we would avoid many problems in the people of God, among the people of God.
Pami urang ngiring instruksi dina hiji Timotius sareng Titus, urang bakal ngahindar ti seueur masalah di antara jamaah Allah.
And then Paul also has a word about how to care properly for widows.
Yang terus Paulus oge ngagaduhan dawuhan ngeunaan kumaha ngurus janda-janda sing layak.
As in the early church, they took care of all the needy.
Sapertos dina masa gereja nu ngawitan maranehna merhatoskeun jalma-jalma nu kakurangan.
So, in the Gentile world, they're to do the same thing.
Janten di lebet dunya nu sanes Yahudi maranehna oge midamel
sama. A widow who is genuinely a widow in need is one who is over 60 years of age and has no family to take care of her.
Sareng anu didaftarkeun salaku janda mung maranehna nu yuswana di luhur 60 taun sareng nu aya keluarga nu teu ngurus.
So we must care for these women.
Janten urang kedah ngabantuan istri sieta.
As a sign that truly are we are given to good works.
Kanggo janten tanda yen urang leres-leres midamel padamelan anu hade.
So there will not be a needy one among us.
Janten teu aya saurang anu kakurangan di antara urang.
Let's go now to the book of Titus.
Mangga urang balik deui kana kitab Titus.
We will come back to 2 Timothy in a minute.
Urang bakal balik deui ka 2 Timotius.
Titus is very much like 1 Timothy.
Kitab Titus sapertos hiji Timotius.
Again, there's an emphasis on sound doctrine.
Ditekankan doktrin leres.
Look at chapter 2.
Nangga tingali dina pasal 2.
Verse 1.
Ayat 1.
Titus 2:1.
Titus 2 ayat 1.
You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine.
Tapi anjeun ngawawarkeun naon anu sapagodos sareng ajaran anu sehat.
And then he begins to speak about the things that should be taught that are sound doctrine.
Anjeun ngawitan nyarios ngeunaan hal-hal anu sakedahna diajarkeun sapagodos doktrin anu sehat.
Teach this to the older men.
Ajarkeun ieu ka pamegat nu parantos sepuh.
Teach this to the younger men.
Ajarkeun ieu ka nu ngora.
Verse 3, teach this to the older women.
Ayat 3 ajarkeun ka istri-istri nu parantos sepuh.
And teach this in verse 4 to the younger women.
Sareng ajarkeun opat ka isi-isi nungora.
And look at the reason why.
Sareng mangga tingalian halusanana.
It's at the end of verse 5.
Aya dina akhir ayat kalima.
So that no one will malign the word of God.
Supados dawuhan Allah tong dijeleh ku jalmi.
We must adorn the gospel with good works that make the gospel believable.
Urang kedah ngahias Injil ku laku lampanu hade nepi ka Injil dipersanten.
Remember the quotation from Mrs. Billy Graham, the wife of the famous evangelist?
Mesali nanti ibu Billy Graham, istri nu penginjil nu kakoncara?
Christians are people who make it easy to believe in Jesus.
Orang Kristen nyaeta jalma-jalma nu ngadamel janten gampang kanggo percanten ka Yesus.
Because of these of their good works.
Margi pada melan maranehna nu hade.
Look in chapter 3, verse 14.
Ingali dina pasal 3 ayat 14.
Titus 3:14.
Titus 3 ayat 14.
Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order that they may provide for daily necessities and not live unproductive lives.
Duduluran kabena sehatan kudu dialajar digawe kitu. Nyar rejeki anu halal keur nyumponan pangaputus sorangan malar hirup aya gunana.
Now back up in chapter 2, verse 11 to 14.
Ayeuna balik deui kana pasal 2 ayat 11 dugi ka 14.
Is a beautiful summary of this matter of sound doctrine.
Ieu nyaeta hiji ringkesan anu endah ngeunaan doktrin anu leres.
Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14.
Titus 2 ayat 11 hingga 14.
For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That's a reference to Jesus Christ.
Sebab Allah teh geus maparin rahmat kasalamatan kasakumna manusia ieu nunjuk ka Yesus Kristus.
This grace that has come in Christ teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age.
Si karunia mantenna teh ngandung pepeling sangkan urang micin lampa dorakanu hawa nafsu dunya, supaya nyaliksik diri jujur sopan serta ibadah eukeur di dunya.
While we wait for the blessed hope, that is, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Bari manteng kana pidatangeunana mangsaning rahayu, nyaeta wanci ebrehna kamulyan Allah jeung juru salamet urang anu agung Kristus.
Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good.
Anjeunna geus ngorbankeun salirana ngabela urang, sangkan urang luput tina sagala anu jahat, ngajadi hiji umatna anu geus disucikeun tina dosa ditempatkeun kana kahadean.
That's why Jesus came.
Ya, ieu sababna Yesus sumping.
Not only to redeem us,
geus mun nganggu nebus dosa urang,
but to release us to do what is good.
Tapi kanggu ngabebaskeun urang kanggu mindamel anu hade.
That's the gospel.
Ieu Injil.
That's the good news the world needs to hear and see.
Ieu beja nu kedah didangukeun ku urang ditingali di dunya.
Verse 15.
Ayat 15.
These things then are the things you should teach, encourage and rebuke with all authority. Don't let anyone despise you.
Tawurkeun kitu mere semangat jeung kataranganna sabisa-bisa ngandung pengaruh sangkan sabae oge ulahin ngajogeh.
Now we come to the last of Paul's epistles.
Urang ayeuna dugi kana serat Paulus nu terakhir.
Paul is back in prison.
Paulus di panjara deui.
We do not know why.
Urang teu terang kunaon.
He had been released earlier.
Teu acana anjeunna parantos dibebaskeun.
He'd written those four epistles from prison.
Perantos nulis opat serat di penjara.
Apparently, his case, when it came before the emperor, he was declared not guilty.
Rupina masalah waktos dicana ke kaisar, anjeunna dinyatakeun teu gaduh salah.
And for a period of time, he was free.
Kanggo periode nu sanesna anjeunna bebas.
Now you would have thought that now would be the time to go all the way to Spain.
Sadarek terang sadarek bakal ngemut. Nya ayeuna waktosna kanggo mios ka Spanyol.
You know, he had written that to the church in Rome.
Sadarek terang anjeunna parantos nulis ieu kanggo gereja di Roma.
But when I get to Rome, then I want to go on to Spain.
Yen upami abdi dugi ka Roma, abdi hoyong mios ka Spanyol.
But after he was released from prison,
sadarek parantos anjeunna dibebaskeun ti panjara,
he didn't go west.
Anjeunna teu mios ka barat.
He went east.
Anjeunna mios ka timur.
What would be so important to cause Paul to go east rather than pioneering new territory for the gospel?
Nah, anu sakitu pentingna anu ngakibatkeun Paulus mios ka timur tibatan ngarindis daerah-daerah anu kanggo Injil.
The care of the churches.
Kepedulian ka gereja-gereja.
What good is it to have more churches if these here are not strong?
Naon saena nambahan gereja-gereja upami gereja anu aya di dieu teu acan kuat.
So he went back into Macedonia.
Dia mios ka Makedonia.
Now I was wrong a moment ago when I talked in the last session about this being a Achaia.
Di lepat waktos abdi nyarios ngeunaan sesi anu ngaliwatan ngeunaan letak Akaya.
This is Achaia.
Nya ieu Akaya.
Achaia is where Corinth and Athens were.
Akaya sami sareng Korintus sareng Athena.
Up here is Macedonia.
Di bagian luhur eta Makedonia.
Two provinces, the southern Achaia, the northern Macedonia.
Di provinsi selatan Akaya, utara sareng Makedonia.
So Paul apparently went from Rome back into Macedonia and then down into Achaia.
Rupina Paulus di Roma balik deui ka Makedonia sareng terus ka Akaya.
That's when he writes Timothy over here.
Ieu waktu anjeunna nulis dina Timotius dieu.
And he writes Titus over here in Crete.
Anjeunna nulis di Titus dina Kreta.
Now for some reason he's back in prison.
Kumargi sababaraha alasan anjeunna balik deui ka panjara di dieu di Roma.
And he now writes his last epistle.
Ayeuna anjeunna nulis seratna nu kahir.
Second Timothy.
Dua Timotius.
He knows that he probably will die shortly.
Anjeunna terang yen panginten teu lami deui anjeunna bakal maot.
And so this is his last will and testament.
Sareng ieu pesen terakhir sareng surat wasiat.
It's like the teaching of Jesus on the night on which he was betrayed.
Yeus sapertos ajaran Yesus dina wengi anjeunna dihianatan.
We need to hear the words of a person who knows he's about to leave.
Priyogi ngadangu carisan jalmi anu terang yen anjeunna bakal angkat.
Paul has very important things to say to Timothy before he dies.
Paulus ngagaduhan hal-hal anu penting pisan kanggo Timotius sateuacanna maot.
He talks about what's happened in the past.
Dina nyarios ngeunaan anu parantos kajantenan di jaman kapungkur.
He'll talk about present needs.
Bakal nyarios ngeunaan kapuruan-kapuruan ayeuna.
And then he anticipates the future after he's gone.
Anjeunna ngadamel antisipasi ngeunaan jaman anu bakal datang sapertos anjeunna maot.
That's very typical when somebody is speaking their last words.
Ieu ciri khas waktos saseurang ngucapkeun pesen-pesen nu pamungkas.
Listen to Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2.
Dangukeun Paulus 2 Timotius pasal 2 ayat 1 sareng 2.
2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2.
2 Timotius 2 ayat 1 sareng 2.
You then, my son, he had led Timothy to the Lord, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
Anak ingu gia hidup kuat ngemban amanat pangandikan u dikaruniakan ku Allah dina kasatunggalan jeung Kristus Yesus.
And the things which you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, now you entrust those to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others.
Pangandikan nu ku hidup kadenge ti Bapa waktu dihotbakeun ka jalma rea, ku hidup kudu diajarkeun ka jalma-jalma nu kira-kira baris-barisaeun deui ngajarkeun ka nu sajen.
What is the concern of a person who's about to leave?
Naon kasedihan saurang anu hampir maot?
That those who remain behind will continue on that which they've begun.
In maranehna nu masihan akal bakal neraskeun anu manehna parantos kawitan.
So pass it on.
Janten neraskeun wae.
There are 4 generations here.
Aya 4 generasi di dieu.
Paul passes it on to Timothy.
Paulus neraskeunana ka Timotius.
Who passes on to reliable men?
Neraskeunana ka jalma-jalma tiasa dipercanten.
Who then teach others.
Nusaras ngajarkeun ka jalmi-jalmi sanes.
If you can get something going for 4 generations, it will keep going.
Pamisa derek tiasa neraskeunana ka 4 generasi ieu bakal aya terasna.
How do we know that Timothy did that?
Kumaha urang terang yen Timotius midamel hal eta?
We sit here today.
Urang calik di dieu dinten ayeuna.
Somebody kept passing it on.
Ta urang parantos neraskeunana.
To reliable people.
Jalma-jalma nu tiasa dipersanten.
How important that is.
Sakitu pentingna hal ieu.
That the gift of the gospel and the teaching of the truth of God's word be passed on responsibly, reliably to others.
Yen karunia Injil sareng pangajaran babeneran dawuhan Pangeran bakal diteraskeun ku nu ngagaduhan tanggung jawab dipersanten ka jalma-jalma sanes.
So Paul uses 3 illustrations of reliable people.
Paulus kangge 3 gambaran ngeunaan jalma-jalma nu tiasa dipersanten.
In verses 3 and 4 he talks about devoted soldiers.
In ayat 3 sareng 4 anjeunna nyarios ngeunaan prajurit nu sae.
Who are not pleasing themselves but are pleasing their commanding officer.
Singalieurkeun dirina ku masalah-masalah kahirupanana sabaros ku cara kitu anjeunna berkenan ka komandana.
In verse 5 he talks about disciplined athletes.
In ayat 5 anjeunna nyarios ngeunaan olahragawan-olahragawan nu disiplin.
Who compete according to the rules and don't take shortcuts.
Tanding nurutkeun peraturan olahraga sareng teu nyandak jalan pintas.
And then in verse 6 he talks about hard working dedicated farmer.
Dina ayat 6 anjeunna nyarioskeun ngeunaan patani nu giat didamel, patani-patani nu ngagaduhan dedikasi.
That's what we need if we're going to pass it on to reliable people.
Nya ieu naon anu ku urang dibutuhkeun upami urang bakal neraskeun Injil ka jalma-jalma anu dipersanten.
People who like farmers are faithful.
Jalma-jalma nu sapertos para patani setia.
Who like athletes are trainable.
Jalma-jalma nu sapertos olahragawan terlatih.
And like soldiers are always available.
Sapertos prajurit nu siap terus.
Oh God, give us these people.
Dumun Allah pasihan abdi sadaya jalma-jalma ieu.
Pray for these people.
Oge ngadoa kanggo jalma-jalma ieu.
Become one of these people.
Janten salah sahiji di jalma-jalma ieu.
to whom the gospel and the word of God can be passed on.
Rangkuman Injil sareng dawuhan Pangeran ieu ditraskeun.
So you can pass it on.
Bamisa dalek tiasa naraskeun anak jalma-jalma.
That's how it will spread throughout your countries.
Nya ieu kumaha Injil nyebar sakuliah negara sadaya.
Now we come to the final words of the Apostle Paul.
Urang dugi ka nyarioskeun terakhir Rasul Paulus.
Chapter 4 verses 6 through 8.
Pasal 4 ayat 6 dugi ka 8.
1 Timothy 4, 6 through 8.
2 Timotius 4 ayat 6-8.
Listen to the words of Paul.
Dengarkan ceritaan Paulus.
I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure or death.
Bapau naman geus pasrah tereh kana ngocor getih jadi korban tereh kana nekanan ajal.
I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith.
Ayeuna Bapa geus sareng setina juri tur jeung unggulna iman Bapa teu cecel teu bocel.
Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearance.
Ayeuna keur ngadago pahlana makuta kayakinan anu ku Gusti Hakim nu adil baris diserenkeun dina wanci poyanana lain ka bapa wae tapi ka sararea sakura anu nyaah ka ngati-ngati pamimpin.
May we be those who stand one day with the apostles like Paul and be judged faithful.
Hiji dinten urang anu ngadeg sasarengan sareng rasul-rasul sapertos Paulus sareng ditingali setia.
We fought the good fight.
Urang parantos ngahiri pertandingan.
We finished the race.
Urang parantos dugi ke garis akhir.
And we've kept the faith.
Urang parantos miara iman.
Therefore, the crown of righteousness shall be given to us as well.
Kumargi kitu makuta bebeneran bakal dipasikeun ka urang.
May it be so.
Hal ieu singkat jantenan.
We would be those kinds of people.
Urang bakal janten jalma sapertos kitu.
Praise the Lord.
Puji Tuhan.